Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour, Darren, Donica, Chase here on this Monday afternoon, ESPN 102.5, The Game. This time we always head east. We go to Knoxville. We check in with our man, Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML. In Knoxville. Vinny, how you doing?
Hanging in there, guys. How you doing?
How was your weekend, your first, like, real weekend of nothing? What was that like?
Well, still was able to do a TV show, Sunday morning TV show, that I'm on a regular rotation of panelists, so still went in into the TV station, the local ABC station, and had a good hour and a half sports talk show. We kept our distance and still was a good show, plenty of stuff to still discuss, including lots of football. But, other than that, Saturday was a lot quieter, and watched the UFC marathon and caught up on a lot of things on my DVR that I hadn't had a chance to get to. And, just worked on blogs and took care of a lot of, domestic stuff. So, that's kind of been the way it's been for me. There's still a long list of stuff that when it's normal insanity this time of year with everything overlapping, I never get a chance to do. And now I'm both for work and personally getting a chance to knock some of that stuff out. So TV and sports, that's just the background. So I've still been able to survive it pretty well overall.
So with everything in the spring canceled, well, has there been any word from – is Jeremy Pruitt – I haven't seen anything. Has he spoken at all?
No, he hasn't. UT did a press conference last week, and it was for the winter and spring sports. Those coaches were there along with Philip Fulmer. So, Jeremy Pruitt, I'm sure he was around, and he is, but because there's a recruiting dead period, obviously, and – But I think they wanted to concentrate on the winter and spring sports that were impacted. So we haven't heard publicly from Jeremy Pruitt. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe if they make a decision on spring practice, that it's definitely canceled or something like that. But no, to this point, we have not heard from Jeremy Pruitt.
I can't imagine that there's going to be. Well, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out. I know that the way everything was initially scheduled, I don't think there's any chance of that. But can they push all this further down the line? I don't know. So what can they do right now? I mean, what are they allowed to do? Is everybody off campus? Are the players what can they do? Are they doing individual workouts, like working out like in the weight room? Or how's that dynamic working?
Not on campus. I mean, there really aren't gyms that I know of that are open. All of those facilities, the gym and the weight room and everything, that's closed at UT. There's no staff there, so they're not able to go in there. Now, if players haven't been able to get back home, if they need medical, those kind of facilities, the restaurants, those kind of things are still available and open to them for the players who are not able to go home. But most of the players have been encouraged to get off campus and go back home. And for a majority of them, they have. Honestly, even though I'm sure guys have their playbooks, I'm sure they have, some workout routines and guidance that they're getting in terms of working out on their own. Maybe guys are pairing up and doing some workouts, that's, not a bad idea, especially if you're just doing light stuff, that's, not contact. But I think it's kind of all over the place. You can do stuff with all kinds of apps and technology, FaceTime, virtual playbooks. There's just a lot of different things that you can do, but you also need to have the players. There are probably all kinds of different backgrounds of what those kids have available. If they're going back home and, maybe some of them have, a good setup and maybe some of them don't. And so it's, I think everybody's in a different situation where they're at and hunkered down during this period of time. So I think it's kind of all over the board. But they are being encouraged, I'm sure, to get some sort of activity in. And I know when we talked to the coaches last week, a number of them, Rick Barnes and Tony Vitello, pointed out that, look, you can give all the kids a plan of what you want them to do, and we are, but it's up to them on whether they want to get the work done. And he said that this is the time where you find out who likes to work, because the ones that do will find ways around it and not fall far behind, while others may just sit on their couch and add bad weight and not get anything done. You can't use it as an excuse. So I think it will be interesting to see how players come out of it, not just for football, but for all sports.
I don't think we've really talked about, and I understand it because it's March, but let's just play this out. We've got time to do that. Well, what if there are no activities? Like, all of spring is gone, and mm-hmm. they haven't been able to get together. Nobody's getting together. Nobody can do anything. And really, I guess they don't get anything started until July, late July or whatever. I do wonder how it's going to affect the football season, right? Something we haven't really talked about. But if these guys and all teams around the country have virtually been doing nothing in the off season, but mm-hmm. something on their own, like you mentioned, which is not the same as, you know, coming to the facility and there with all the training staff and what have you. I do wonder how it's going to affect the season coming up.
Well, Greg Sankey, this is something that I thought could happen. And Greg Sankey, without being specific, when he had his teleconference last week, I thought kind of hinted to it a little bit, in that he said, when he was asked about the football season numerous times, and kept reiterating, look, you know, I'm glass half full right now. Not really, looking at that in great detail right now. And I think part of that is just because you don't want to pass along too much panic to everyone that's having a tough time dealing with everything now. If you start floating out already that, hey, we could miss the football season, I think that's not going to help people kind of get through this period. So it's still a ways away. I'm sure they're having early discussions about it. But one of the things he kind of hinted to was, hey, we're going to do what we can to help the players prepare for the season properly. And the way I interpreted that is, if there is no spring practice for anybody, that they could add practices to the front end before and extend those fall camp practices. And to your point, especially if there's no off-season work happening in terms of teams, if they don't come back in the spring, and typically for skill positions you have 7-on-7s and you have camps and you have all these different things that guys can do. If you have none of that, you're going to need a ramp-up time. And I think you want to give those players some practices back, even if it's just sort of doing some get back in the shape type of additional practices. It's not going to be the same and won't completely make up for a spring practice, but I think that's probably the most likely thing that you could see, is them adding, I don't know how long they could do it, a week or two. It just depends, I think, on what the state of them getting back together in the large groups would be at that point. But if we are clear at that point, then I think that's what you could see, is an extended fall practice that maybe gets going early in July. And who knows, maybe some kids can't get back right away. Maybe those have to be excused until they do come back. But I think that's what you could see. I really don't see how, with as large as football rosters are, how they're going to be able to get back to practicing in the spring. And, who knows if these coaches even want to put those kids in that situation. If you're trying, even if we are in an improvement stage, if you want to put those kids in that situation just yet, you may be better off just waiting and seeing if you can get a longer fall practice.
Vinny, I'm trying to remain optimistic, but I see no chance of spring happening.
Oh,
football front.
Yeah.
None. Yeah. I mean, for anybody, to me, that is a long, long shot. Speaking of strength and conditioning, looks like they lost their coach Craig Fitzgerald to the Giants. How does that impact them once they're able to return?
Well, I do think it's significant. Now, they finally had some continuity with that strength and conditioning program. I think it's 9 or 10 strength and conditioning coaches they've had over the last 13 years, something ridiculous like that. That just is not conducive to you developing players, developing their bodies, developing a chemistry with them being responsible and disciplined and how they take care of themselves on and off the field. The strength and conditioning coach is involved in so many of those things. They really run the football team in a good part of the off season when the coaching is limited. So we finally got to see, Darren, that the players not only get bigger, stronger, and faster on this team with Craig Fitzgerald and his staff, but you saw it be tangible and related to the on the field. And you could see that in their development. You can see guys improve. And I think he's a big reason for that. Look, Jeremy Pruitt, the one time we talked to him in the spring, right after spring practice one, he raved again, like he typically does, about Craig Fitzgerald and was lauding how, you know, Craig Fitzgerald passed on a number of job opportunities that he had. He wasn't specific, but many of us believe it was Alabama that was going after him. And he talked about how he was the first choice for a number of schools and opportunities that he had. Supposedly, he has our afternoon guy, Jimmy Himes, said he's got, he's from the Northeast and family there, and then also kind of pieced together some Alabama ties with Joe Judge, with Craig Fitzgerald, and a number of people that he has worked with through the years. So they added a bunch of those kind of guys up there with the Giants. So apparently money, you know, being closer to home and those Alabama connections was the lure to get him up to the New York Giants. I think they could either do clearly a national search, which is going to be a lot more difficult right now, but I think maybe the more likely scenario is you hire from within. I'm sure he has some candidates that he likes that Craig Fitzgerald probably wanted to put in place and helped hire. And that way you can keep your program, your system. And I think that you can make a quicker hire with that also and limit the transition of that position. If he goes someone completely different, I think you're running more of a risk of having a setback. So it's going to be dicey to see how they handle it, but it's not ideal, especially during this time, to be looking for a strength and conditioning coach, especially as good as he has been.
Mm. More with Vince Ferrara on the other side from the Sports Animal in Knoxville, WNML, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Looks like Vanderbilt has lost a former football coach. We'll tell you who we're talking about. Sad news on that front. Also, the Predators have signed someone. We'll tell you about that as well. More with Vince Ferrara on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday afternoon. Some sad news on the Vanderbilt front. There's not a lot of details. I've only seen really one guy tweet this out, but I've seen some people associated with the program responding to it, so there's not a ton of news, but it looks like former Vanderbilt football coach Woody Woodenhofer has passed away as of last night. Like I said, there's not many details. We'll just continue to monitor it. And like I said, somebody's put it out there, and I've seen some people with the Vanderbilt program that are commenting on it. So just wanted to pass that along. Sad, sad news. And if we find out any more details, we'll certainly pass it along. There's also some news on the Predators front involving a goaltender, Willie.
Yeah, they have signed Connor Ingram, who a lot of people who follows the team closely would know a lot about, but he's a guy that was acquired in a trade from the Tampa Bay Lightning organization last offseason. He has come in and had a stellar year at Milwaukee, 21-5-5, just unbelievable numbers, no matter how you, which numbers you want to look at. They're all great. They've signed him to a three-year contract, and he's 22 years old right now, which is still relatively young for a goalie. $700,000 at the NHL level, $120,000 at the AHL level for next year. But this is how they structure it. So it's a two-way deal for the next 2 years, but it becomes an NHL deal in the third year. So it kind of gives you the timeline of where they see him down the road. Now, of course, the picture could change. It's not a huge investment. We're talking about $750,000, but it really is a sign that they see him as a guy that has the inside track to replace Pekka Rinne at some point when Pekka Rinne retires. You would assume that Pekka Rinne will retire as a Predator, but you know Tom Brady is now playing for another team, so anything is possible, of course. But this guy's done enough, I think, in you know three quarters of a season in the Predators organization to say this guy has a chance to be very, very good.
Willie, I'm going to let you just take it from there.
All right. You know, Vince, I've been reading some things on some different college campuses. I'm just curious your perspective. You were kind of hinting at it from the football perspective, all the complications. But I'm just looking at schools that sent everybody out to spring break, and then everybody comes back, and everybody's dealing with the fact that, you know, inevitably, especially with what you're seeing sometimes with younger people being maybe less inclined to take the virus seriously, especially going back a couple of weeks, that more and more cases are popping up on the campus, and you can just think about how that complicates the picture going forward on any environment where you're trying to get a team together. I'm just curious what you've seen. What has it been like at Tennessee? When was their spring break? Have they had much reports on that?
Well, last week was their scheduled spring break, and they're in online classes, so no one's really coming back to campus. They do have, like I mentioned, the medical, they'll have meals available for those that can't get back home. I know for some sports, there's players internationally that took them some time to get back home, like Uros Plavsic, the 7-footer, and then also Santiago Viscovi. So both of those guys, it took them, you know, more than a week. It wasn't until late last week that they were able to get home. It's just so complicated flying internationally and trying to find them the right path to be able to avoid travel restrictions. And then it gets into the cost, too. Rick Barnes mentioned that, you know, the NCAA doesn't pay for the entire cost. And he said, well, maybe you can petition some of those things down the line. But the bottom line is families wanted to get their kids home. And, you know, with a few exceptions of some international players that have wanted to stay around here, most of them have been encouraged to go back home. So there's not a ton happening around campus. Phil Fulmer was asked if anyone had tested a positive for coronavirus at the press conference early last week. He said no. Greg Sankey was asked if anyone in the league or any that they knew of had tested positive. It was kind of open-ended, so I don't know if that means athletics or on any of the SEC campuses. And he didn't really get into it. He kind of basically said no without directly answering it. But he said that's up to the schools if they, you know, to talk about. So, I just think everybody is going to handle it differently. Rick Barnes was asked, hey, do you think these kids really grasp the severity of what this is? And he said, well, I know I wouldn't have. So to answer your question honestly, probably not. And I think just everyone's maturity level is different. Everyone's situation is probably different and where they're going to. And so I think it varies. You just hope that, you know, the kids are making the right decisions and just being safe. And I got in that press conference last week, Willie, I got the impression from the coaches and from Philip Fulmer overall that they're taking this seriously. Philip Fulmer had mentioned we got to put our competitive identities aside for the better good, and they have to think from a community lens, not just a student-athlete lens. So I think they did a good job of saying this is much bigger than athletics. We got to take a break, and then we can get back started when they tell us to.
I think it's a great insight by Rick Barnes, and an honest insight, especially depending on where along the spectrum it was. Was it 1 week ago? Was it 2 weeks ago? Now, I would hope by now that a lot of people, regardless of your age, who maybe didn't grasp it last week, grasp it this week, if you know what I mean. But I think it's a great point. And so it just illustrates, too, that even if a lot of people did get it and take precautions, when you get back, it, you know, if a few people have it, the way it spreads, where a lot of times you don't know that you're spreading it to somebody, it just creates all kinds of complications that create all kinds of tough decisions and you know, contingency plans that every coach is going to have to deal with here. So I don't envy that at all. It's just one sliver of everything that everybody in the world is going through right now.
Absolutely. And I know for basketball players especially, I think it was, and for a lot of athletes, when Rudy Gobert tested positive for it, that was a eye-opening, I think. And that was obviously the game changer that sent sports on the fast track to the shutdown we're in now. But when, you know, players on the elite level that you look up to, things are shutting down and the reaction is the way it is, and the players are all the time, you know, we're hearing about new positive tests. I think that's a little bit more of a wake-up call that this is more serious to deal with. And then there's the whole eligibility thing, too, and that's another thing that kind of really fogs things for coaches, too, and trying to figure out, all right, who's going to be eligible and who's not? How does this all work and put together? And all the coaches responded to that and had different opinions on that last week as well.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML, in Knoxville. And Vinny, I got to bring this up because your hometown Tampa Bay Bucks made a big signing in Tom Brady. He's leaving the New England Patriots. I know that there's no Vols news connected with that story, but it's a big one. What were your thoughts, Brady going to the Bucks?
Well, it was clearly it was the biggest story in sports, and thank goodness for NFL free agency last week. I'm sure you guys agree with that. It was nice to have things to discuss, and it's still hard to really envision, but I think it's obviously tremendous for the Buccaneers franchise. I thought that T.J. Reeves, who works for the Bucs Radio Network, has for many years, and he said this, you know, outside of maybe the Super Bowl, this is as excited as that area has been, that fan base has been. Maybe even the only thing close was when they acquired Gruden. And this gives them credibility. It gives them relevance nationally. It gives them a massive upgrade at the quarterback position. Clearly, the culture, all these things. Now it's a desirable place. There's just so many things that are going to be the residual positives to Brady going there. And, you know, I think Bucs fans and Tampa Bay should feel great that, you know, they're basically, he was that was where he and I'm sure his family wanted to go, and he doesn't, that situation doesn't exactly fit what you typically think of Tom Brady would want. There's not the connections, there's not the short passing game and all these other things, but got a load of weapons, a relaxed head coach that's much different than Bill Belichick. And I think this is another way for Brady to test himself and say, all right, I can do this, and this, and then do it a different way and enjoy my last few years or however long he decides to play. So, yeah, I think it's great for both sides. It's certainly going to be interesting. And now we'll see the Bucks on prime time, you know, all the time once the schedule comes out. Let's hope we get to see those games as well.
Vince, looking at Vols entering the draft, you know, we talk about Juwan Jennings a lot and what he could do for an NFL franchise, but what about a receiver like Marquez Callaway? How do you see him fitting in the pro system?
Well, he is he's a guy that I think will have a chance to be drafted late, could very well be an undrafted free agent. But if he is, I think he's going to be pretty high priority because he does have high point ball skills. I just think that because he didn't run a blazing fast time like he had told us, you know, before last season that he'd run a 4.4, he was, you know, in the high 4.5s at the combine. He's not going to really have a pro day now to be able to improve on that number and maybe show out at a local pro day. I think it's going to be tougher for him. He could have really used another good 40 time. You know, just there was times where he was quiet at Tennessee. Other times he showed how explosive he was. He has return ability. So I'm sure there's some people that you know, may look at him and maybe, you know, a kick return slash, you know, a third, fourth, fifth type of receiver, you know, maybe in a Cordell Patterson or a Mecole Hardman type of role. But, you know, those guys even have greater speed than Patterson does. So I think that's going to be tough for him. But there'll be a spot for him to compete. If he gets in a good situation, he can make it. But if he gets drafted, I think we're talking late in the draft.
Remember what we were talking about earlier? About spring activities? Looks like all signs are pointing towards Tokyo Olympic Games postponed until next year. They were supposed to start the Olympics. That was supposed to start at the end of July, July 24th. Looks like they're going to try to move it. Looks like all signs are pointing towards moving that to 2021. Vince, really appreciate the visit as always. And you have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Stay safe, stay healthy. It goes for everybody listening as well. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville. We talk to him every Monday starting at noon. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Appreciate Vince Ferrara for joining us. We'll talk to Adam Vingen at 1 o'clock. Guys, this is yet another domino to fall, and this was a big one. All signs were pointing towards this. You heard a number of countries over the weekend say they are not going to participate in the 2020 Olympics. I know Canada said over the weekend, yeah, we're not sending our athletes. And so the writing was on the wall. Once you start seeing countries, you know, tell the IOC, yeah, we're not coming, you knew that this thing was in real trouble of actually taking place in Tokyo. And it looks like I said, all the signs are pointing toward it's going to get postponed until 2021. So yet again, here's something, another big sporting event. We're talking about July 24th, and they're going to move it to next year. The more this stuff comes out, I just think it goes back to what we were talking about last week. I just think it's going to be, and I know you keep hearing the NBA say, we're willing to go to September. Are you, though, really? October, really? And then start up your season afterwards? I don't see that at all. I just think the walls just continue to close in on, I don't think, us seeing return to normalcy when it comes to sports anytime soon. And as I've been saying on the show, everybody thinks that once this settles down and we get past it, that fall sports aren't in trouble. I just think this is yet again a sign of does everybody right now think that football for sure is going to start up normal on time? Like, okay, if they're canceling the Olympics July 24th, isn't that right around NFL training camps getting ready to get cranked up? We think that's going to start on time?
Well, I would say this. If I were a coach or if I were a player, right, you just heard the insight from Rick Barnes, and it's an honest answer, right? When you're 18 or 20 years old, maybe even a little bit older, 22, 23 years old, would you have grasped the weight of this right away? Probably not, right? But what is going to motivate you to do everything you can? To separate and do all the things we're being asked to do right now, because let's be honest, a lot of the young people didn't comply, right? We saw all the clips of the beach and all of the young people saying, I got to have my spring break and all this stuff. And there were a lot of families that sort of let it go. But one thing that would motivate me if I were a football player is, hey, if we don't get this together, then you're not going to have your football season. Right? Because that is – to think that everything's going to be okay for sure at that point, you haven't been reading a lot of the studies from the experts on this. I mean, they're taking this track that could go in a lot of different directions, and there are tracks that suggest that this could go on for a whole year. It could be going for 18 months, right? I mean, we don't want to think about these things, but we have to, right? It's like what I was talking about with fear-mongering. I'm not needing to fear-monger. I'm just giving you the prognosis of what the experts are saying. And so if we have to control what we can control, hope for the best. But I just think it's realistic to say, if you think for sure that you're going to take the field on September the 1st or whenever the first game is going to be, I don't know if we can say that for sure.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think that's the – you just hit the nail on the head, Willie. We don't know. None of us really know exactly how long this is going to last. We, you know, if everybody does what they're supposed to do and we flatten the curve and, you know, listen to the people that are much smarter than we are, then – okay, that could slow things down, and maybe once it heats up and we get into the summer months, that could really help things. But we don't know, and I think that's what is scaring people so much is you always fear what you can't control and what you don't know, and so I think that's kind of where we are right now, and that's where it's so important to listen to the officials that are saying, hey, we need you to stay in. And we've been having, you know, we're this is all very different for us, but we're having fun. We're talking about old basketball games or old races or old football games, things that we're watching. But, you know, I think this is just where everybody has to listen and do things that aren't normal for them. And that way you get back to some normalcy here in a few months. But the bottom line is we just don't know. We really don't know how long all this is going to last.
Looks like it is now official. Dick Pound. From the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, it looks like indeed it wasn't all signs. All signs were pointing towards that because now it looks like the signs have said they are indeed going to postpone this year's Olympics. I'm not sure what else there. I mean, think about this. So right now today, it's interesting because this whole we all, I think, start back at, Willie, you were on the road. This all started with the Ivy League, right? I mean, just think about this track that we're on. It started with the Ivy League saying men's, women's, their conference tournament, albeit just four teams, we're not playing it. Regular season champs are going. It was like, what? Just like that was the first layer into where we are today. How this thing changes every 24 hours. And there was a time when it was changing every hour, every 15, 30 minutes. But as we sit here today and now hearing this latest domino to fall, no Olympics at the end of July, what would you say and now baseball has come out over the weekend and said, we're going to need about a month to get things going. Yeah. Really? You're going to need a month? Wait a minute. You want to do a month of spring training? Then you want to start a regular season? Exactly when do you think you're going to start your season? What would you think today, realistic, is going to be MLB's start of their season? Mm. How would you answer that, Willie?
Well, go ahead, Willie.
I think the thing that also you have to keep in mind is think about the preparation for any Olympic athlete, right? And we're talking about the realistic. This is July 25th. That it was scheduled to start. But all the things that have to lead up to July 25th, the Olympic trials, you know, you're the qualifying for the Olympics in all of the different sports around the world. I mean, it just wasn't going to be practical for those athletes to be able to prepare. Just like we're talking about, you know, college pitchers that we know, high school pitchers in this area or high school athletes in this area for the spring sports. Right now, everything's frozen, right? You shouldn't be working out unless you're on your own. Right, if you can work out on your own, you can, but you certainly can't get together with your team. Well, it's the same kind of thing with the Olympics, for sure. So getting back to your question, right, you need a certain amount of time as a team to prepare and get yourself in shape before you play a game, and you know, and so that's a period of time tacked on to whenever you actually start playing the game. So the calendar just keeps getting pushed back here as the reality sets in. And we go back to you started this thing with the Ivy League. The Ivy League probably just had a better sense before everybody else of just realistically what the timetable was going to be.
I know for me, you know, I planned a trip to L.A., a baseball trip, around the 1st of June, and I was holding out hope for a while. Okay, you know what? June 1st, that could be opening day. Maybe I'll see opening day at Dodger Stadium. And that was my way of just kind of holding on to a little hope. I don't think I believe that anymore.
That's exactly where I was going, Chase. We've got a trip planned. We do this every year at the end of June, which is our anniversary. 1st of July, we were going to go to New York City. It's already been planned, and the Yankees were in town, and the Mets were in town. We haven't been to the new stadiums. We went the last time we were in NYC was the final year of both Yankee Stadium and Shea, and so we went to both of them then. But I sitting here today, I don't believe for a minute.
I think you have a better chance than I do.
I don't even think I have. We have a good chance sitting here today.
I'm now leaning closer to July 1st than June 1st. But again, it goes back to what I said. I don't think we really know, because the more that you might think, and you know, you hear in press conferences, we're in day 8 of 14 or 15 or whatever. I mean, it's going to keep. We're going to just keep adding days because this thing is continuing to grow, and it's going to get bigger before they can get it contained. So the more that happens, then the more days we get pushed back from, you know, opening day in the majors or other sports resuming, and that's just kind of the way it is. So at what point, you know, do you feel good about July 1st? You apparently don't.
I don't.
And then it's July 15th, you know, which would be around the All-Star break. You know, so what does that all mean? Especially if they need 30 days, which I get from a pitching standpoint and, you know, things like that, but you're just pushing things further and further back.
Right. And so, once again, hockey and basketball have been shut down since mid-March. March 12th, March 11th and 12th, playing both sports, shut it down. You think that they're just going to pick up after in July? I don't see that at all. And by the way, who says that everything's going to be ready to resume normalcy in July? We're assuming
sure. that's what we're getting. As we would like to think that it can. And I'm gonna keep holding out hope. But as I was saying before, the health experts they track all the different paths that it can go, and not all the tracks, you know, have us. Plan back, you know, everything getting back to normal in July. That's for sure.
Right.
A lot of them go quite a bit further than that.
I mean,
and this is health experts. This isn't some yo-yo, sure. you know, putting out whatever. These are the people that their lifetime has been dedicated to studying disease control and all these things. These are the experts.
Let me ask it this way.
There'll be no Formula One races until mid-June at the earliest.
Right.
That's what the Grand Prix has put out there.
And I saw that NASCAR and IndyCar are talking about, you know, the Indy 500 is in late May, Memorial Day weekend. It hasn't been postponed yet. However, you feel like it's probably going to be. That NASCAR and IndyCar have talked about doing a doubleheader weekend July 4th at the Brickyard with NASCAR on one day and the Indy 500 on the other. That's July 4th, and I don't even know if I feel great about that. So I'll ask it to you this way.
Has NASCAR made any more announcements on their cancellations?
No, they're still going with what they put out last week, that it would be like May 9th at Martinsville. Could be the earliest that they resume.
So they haven't adjusted that at all?
Yeah, but they probably will. Yeah. I don't think that they necessarily – need to at this point. Maybe in the next week or so they probably will, but May 9th seems a little unrealistic in my mind. But at what point, and I'm not ready to admit this, I'm not ready to go there, but at what point do we ask the question, do we have sports at all in 2020 from this point, or is it just a wash? And that includes the start of football.
Without us crying on the air, I just don't want to answer that, because I have a feeling if we start thinking about that too much, we'll will become incredibly sad, and this will become a very, very sad broadcast. And I don't know the answer to that. I hope that.
But
that
it's a fair question.
It's a fair question. I hope that the answer is not yes. That is a reality, but who knows? I mean,
I'll be playing a lot of guitar. If that's
well, how much the curve is flattened, you know, it's still a lot of things that we have under our control as a society, right? That will affect the answer to that question. And remember, you know, the way this virus tracks is a lot of times is you don't know who's got it for another 10 or 12 days down the road from today, right? That's the scary part. That's why the numbers keep growing. And the other thing that's happening is we're ramping up as fast as we can the testing. So more and more people will get tested. So we'll have numbers going up because more people are getting tested. That stands to reason. So the numbers are going to keep skyrocketing here for a while. And so, I mean, it's tough to watch. But in the meantime, you have to try to do what you can do and hope for the best. But control what we can control. Just do what everybody's saying. Take it seriously. And if there's people in your circles that don't get it, help them get it, right? Every person can make a difference.
Yeah, I think if we're going to look for some positive to end this hour, is this is not a city or a county or a state or even just a country trying to figure this out. This is the world trying to figure out. So there's a lot of really, really, really smart people in the world. And so our best hope, and to end this hour on a positive note, is the world, we're going to figure this out, as in ways to,
sure we are.
You know, vaccine, whatever, you know, things that we can do to help slow this down, fix it. We got the world on our side, right? So that is a nice thing to know. This is not just a little area that's trying to figure this out of people. This is the world trying to figure it out. So maybe that will help us and help us minimize and try to resume back to a normal life sooner rather than later. So I guess that's one way of looking at it. It looks like, by the way, Willie, it is official on what we feared about Woody Woodenhofer dying at age 77. It looks like it has it's been confirmed.
Yeah, so I see that. Mike Organ has that.
That is unfortunate.
Organ he has a story out here, and yeah, Woody Woodenhofer, a guy that you say whatever you want to about his one loss record as a head coach. He was one of the great characters of the game in terms of just being a fun, charismatic guy, and he was one heck of a defensive coordinator. That is for sure.
No doubt about it. All right, we'll come back. We'll kick off the fourth and final hour with Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll tell you about something he posted today on The Athletic. We'll do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.